the scripture readings for today speak to that need and that struggle that we have to be connected with God. Psalm 147 is an audacious hymn of celebration. The inhabitants of ancient Jerusalem presumed a lot as they sang this song together. They celebrate their unique place in God's universe. The poets and the psalm writers of ancient times had a keen observation of the powerful forces of nature and how dependent humankind was on rain and grass and wheat. The God of creation is celebrated in this psalm with all the benefits and beauty of creation. Stars, clouds, rain, green grass, green mountains, and golden wheat. Along with the more brutal aspects of creation, heavy snow, frost, hail, and ice. Reading this morning reminded me of growing up in the Chicago area and reminded me of being in Austin in February when it's 70-some degrees during the day. Hallelujah, I could say that along with the psalmist. I remember one time there was such a snowstorm, and it's fun as a kid, you know, when you're 8 or 9 years old to dig a tunnel from the house to the barn to milk the cows. I'm not sure if I'd like to do that today, though. The vast universe and these powerful forces of nature continue to draw us to wonder and awe, do they not? Often we feel small and insignificant as we contemplate the immensity of the cosmos and our very small place in it. Who are we that the universe would pay any attention to us? Miguel, a few weeks ago you did a nice job of helping us to understand this big place that we occupy in this much of it. When you think about that in the modern sense and wonder about that, you have to be struck that the psalm writer, on the other hand, knowing the power and immensity of God, asserts that this creator God has a special place for Jerusalem and God's people. God rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers up its exiles and brings healing and restoration. God guards the gates of the city. The children are safe. The poor are lifted up. The wicked fall. There is peace and abundant wheat, bread for everyone. You know about abundant wheat, don't you, being from South Dakota? The wheat fields spread out all over the place. We lived in Eastern Washington for a while where they had fields that were a mile by a mile and full of wheat. And it's just at certain times of year, it was beautiful to see the wind rippling over that wheat and to realize the abundance that's there. Bread for everyone. Jacob and Israel received God's commandments, and no other people can make such a claim. Essentially, the psalmist is saying, the creator of the universe cares for me. The creator of the universe cares about exiles, the poor and the brokenhearted. The creator of the universe cares about justice. The wicked will receive their due. Isaiah 40 picks up on this theme. The prophet speaks God's message to Israel's exiles in ancient Babylon and promises a return and a restoration of Jerusalem. Once again, the language is of creation and ancient cosmology that weaves a portrait of God. God is watching from above. God has created the heavens and every star and even named each one. Now there's a thought from the modern mind, knowing how many are out there, just to have that expressed. From God's perspective, the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. I'm not sure if I like that one. What do you do with grasshoppers? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. However, in spite of the distance created by such a large God, the prophet declares that this very life force of the universe works to empower the faint, strengthen the powerless, and encourage those who pay attention in a patient way to this renewing power. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the psalmist and the prophet assert a vision for God's presence and activity in human existence. And in spite of the description of a God that is above and beyond our understanding and a God powerful beyond measure at the same time, this creator God participates in the life of human beings And we are able to have some understanding of that kinship. With our limited perspective, we often forget that we are children of the universe, that we are part of creation. Dr. Michelle Thaler, a NASA astronomer, has an interesting take on who we are. She says, "We are literally dead stars looking back up at the sky." And she's talking about the various elements of our physical being that are also elements of the stars. And if you think about it, the Earth and its life being created out of the stuff of stars, it's kind of an interesting perspective. So what a journey humankind is on. Riding a chunk of an ancient star, that third rock from the sun, from a modest sun at that, at the edge of a galaxy, one of many. And somehow, we on this little rock, who are specks of stardust looking back at the sky, have become beings who are reflective and conscious of our part in the evolving universe. That's a wondrous thing. When you think about the origins of the universe and what humankind has become, it reminds me of Psalm 8. Who is humankind that you pay attention to us? The strange part for me in these descriptions of a large God is the caring part. You would think in that immensity and hurtling through space at 40-some thousand, miles per second or whatever it is, how can it be that this totality of being, this God consciousness, this creator, has a bent toward justice and compassion? I wonder if, are we mindful as we look at each other that we catch the universe looking back at us? I mean, does that make sense to you? As reflective, conscious parts of the universe, as we see each other, are we aware of that? Of that exchange? Does that capacity to know others as we know ourselves generate a sense of compassion and fairness? Our most meaningful stories in the scriptures and in many places seem to encourage that understanding. The gospel reading today contains an odd little scene. Jesus goes to Simon's house where Simon's mother-in-law is ill. Jesus touches her and heals her, reaches out a hand and lifts her up. And then you have the difficult part of the story, and Marilyn, I heard you hesitate a little bit when you read that, is that she's lifted up from her sick bed and then she serves everyone. I mean, what does that say to you? I mean, is a stereotypical role of women or something going on here? Mark's word for serve is diakone. It's related to the word deacon. And it's a word used to describe what Christians do. So I like to think of that little exchange between Jesus and this woman as what Jesus does for us when he reaches out a hand and lifts us up from our illness, however you want to define that, and how do we respond to that being lifted up. What Christians do is serve. The office of deacons in the church is a formalized way of service to others. So this is the first reference to women in the first gospel written. It's only three verses, but it says a lot. By touching her, Jesus takes a stand against ritual impurity. In other words, human suffering and need take a precedent over religious tradition. Jesus healed many from Simon's house that day. Then early in the morning, he retreated to a quiet place and communed with God. There is an example and a pattern and a paradigm there for Christians, is there not? Once we have come to the realization that we are children of the universe, children of God, God cares for us and heals us and gives us a perspective that we're able to know others and understand their pain and struggle, then the example is given that we are to reach out a hand and to help in the healing of humankind. God, sometimes you seem distant and out of touch with me. I need encouragement from time to time. I need to sense your presence and your spirit to know that I am part of you and you are part of me. Lift me up and help me be of service to you in the healing of humankind. I think that's the gospel story in a nutshell. we're lifted up by Christ and given a way to live and to be in relation to others and to the universe. I hope you're on that journey. And I hope that you find time to commune with the Creator, to be restored in that image and in that understanding. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. God, we wait upon you this day as we gather and sing praises to you, as we connect with each other, as we pray together, as we learn about your love for us. We thank you for this journey of life on this third rock from the sun. We thank you for milestones of birthdays and other celebrations that help us to remember that we are on a journey. Thank you for Jim's birthday, for your blessing on his life. Pray for him and Sue. Pray for Terry as she continues to recover from her cold. We give thanks for the improvement of Craig's stepfather, for a renewed appetite. We pray for Bob's colleagues at the Capitol advocating for children's well-being. We pray for Stacy's father and for Haley as they recover from the flu. We're thankful for the opportunity that Stacy has to advocate for LGBTQ youth who are so vulnerable in life. We're glad for Martin's good visit to the dentist, for Jen's peace of mind in that situation. We pray for Dolly as she works with SHAPE, helping to advocate for physical education and well-being. We pray especially for Quinn's and Katie's friend, Nell, with the difficult news of tumors and the difficult news of a short time yet to live. We pray for peace and help in her life. We pray for the students that Marilyn mentioned who have lost parents and the members of her family. We thank you for Mr. Lemon's presence with us today and for all those who come and visit this congregation and this fellowship. May they find a welcome and hospitality here. We thank you, O God, for the way of Jesus and for the inspiration and teachings and example and help that Jesus Christ gives us in knowing who we are as your children, loved by you and sent to serve. So we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.